This is Kate Moorhead Carroll in the podcast Find It. This is a special podcast for the day after Halloween, which for thousands of years Christians have called All Saints Day. This podcast is called The Travel Agent. I find myself at the bedside of the dying a lot. I have seen a lot of death. And let me tell you something. It is a birthing process. And let me tell you something else. Dying is something that is much like living. It varies a lot person to person. I tell my congregation that I'm like a travel agent who hasn't been to the destination. I come into the room and help people say goodbye and help the dying person move on. Now that I'm 54 years old and have been a priest all of my adult life and have done last rites so many times, I think it's time that I claim some authority in the area of dying, at least from a spiritual perspective. I want to share with you some things I have learned over the years. The reason I want to speak up at this point is because our American culture has become very ill when it comes to dying. In general, our culture feeds on fear in all areas, for fear makes people spend money, either to buy things to comfort themselves, food or clothing or extra stuff, or to consume more media, because when things are in crisis, we pay more attention. So our country is in a constant state of crisis and fear, fed by media and marketing. And our greatest fear is the fear of death. It is natural to be afraid of dying. When someone dies, their personhood, their soul, their life force is there one moment, and the next moment it is gone. The ancient Hebrews taught that the breath and the soul were one, that God breathed into a person when the baby sucked it in its first breath, and that this same breath of God leaves to return to God upon the death. The ancient word for soul, spirit, wind, breath, and even storm were the same word, ruach. And the word for God in Hebrew, Yahweh, sounds like the breath. For when we breathe, we say God's name, and God's life force or spirit moves in us, pumping our blood, moving our thoughts and limbs, and bringing life to our bodies. When we die, the body is left behind, and the breath leaves. But where does it go? In all the universe, nothing is ever created or destroyed. It just changes form, at least that's what the scientists tell us. Gas can become liquid. Liquid can become solid. But where does our life go? Where does our breath go? Where do our souls go? Here is where we enter the realm of the spiritual, my area. I spoke to a doctor at Mayo a few months ago. When I arrived at the hospital room, they were about to do a chest x-ray on a 94-year-old woman whose dementia was so bad that she no longer spoke or recognized anyone. The family, given no other guidance, was going ahead with the chest x-ray. I spoke to this smart, kind, very intelligent doctor. I said, "Doctor, you're doing a great job. Your job is to keep the body going. But now it's my turn. It's my job now. We don't need you to keep the body going anymore." He thanked me. We didn't do the chest x-ray. The family was able to say goodbye and sing and hold her and love her. She slipped away. At another bedside, a man was writhing in pain, aged 96. "Why don't they give him something for the pain?" I asked. "Because they say it might kill him," was the answer. He had been bedridden for months. "Why don't we ease his pain so he can say goodbye?" I said. It was as if everyone was waiting for me to say that it was okay, that it wasn't a sin, even if it hastened his death, to relieve his pain. Instead of saving lives, we are, more and more, just prolonging dying and causing great pain. You see, I believe with all my heart, in fact, I have experienced the realm beyond. There is more life ahead of us. Death is not an ending. It is a beginning of the real life. This is the primary reason why Jesus came. He came to die and return so that we would know that there is something more beyond this life. But before Jesus died, he brought someone else back from the dead. It was one of his best friends, Lazarus. Jesus loved to visit Lazarus and his sisters when he came to Jerusalem. Their home was full of love and laughter and funny family disagreements. When Jesus learned that Lazarus was sick, he didn't come back immediately. He chose to wait. By the time he arrived in Bethany, Lazarus was dead. Now, Jesus only cries twice in the Gospels. He cries in the Garden of Gethsemane because he knows he is about to be tortured. And he cried at the grave of his friend Lazarus. Jesus does not cry because Lazarus is dead. He cries because he sees the extreme fear and grief of his sisters. He witnesses their pain, and he cries for them. He weeps for them, not for Lazarus, but for the ones who Lazarus left behind. Jesus brings Lazarus back from the dead to show us that he hadn't ceased to exist. Lazarus would be killed just 1 year later to destroy evidence of Jesus' miracles, but people had already seen and witnessed the event. Lazarus returned. There is a place beyond this place, a place that cannot be experienced with the rational mind. You can, however, get a sense of this place by sitting in silence, by prayer and meditation. But it takes hard work and discipline just to catch a glimpse of it. This place Jesus called the Kingdom of Heaven. To us modern minds, that sounds like the magic kingdom or something make-believe, but it is real, much more real than this fragile and ever-changing life we live here on earth. How do you find this place? Leave your attachments behind, to things and even people. Go sit outside and breathe. Sit still and without your cell phone. Stare at a dandelion. Let yourself sense eternity. You can do it. You can touch it. Even just for a fraction of a second, it is there. God is waiting for you. You don't need to die to experience heaven. The people that you love who have died, they really are with you in this realm of glory, this heavenly kingdom, which is here and there. You can sense their presence. If anyone tells me they don't believe in God, I ask them if they're willing to devote some time to finding out. If they are, I give them some meditation guidance. Give it 6 months of daily practice. I've never met an atheist who has practiced in this way. On All Saints' Day, we say the names of our loved ones who have died. We speak their names aloud. Don't be afraid. Say their names. Ask for their guidance. Christians call them the communion of saints. They don't have to be perfect people, just bound to you in love. They live within God. You can talk to them. They are there. Believe me, I am the travel agent who hasn't been to the destination, but every once in a while I have touched it. It is real. Thank you for joining me in this podcast today. May God bless you.